Good morning. Welcome to Facebook Live for Southwest Central Church of Christ. We are so grateful that you have chosen to take this time and create this space and to lean in to see what God has to say to us this morning. So I welcome you, whether you are a guest or a regular attender here or just someone who's popping in just to see what's going on. I'm glad that you have found your way to this space. And speaking of space, I'd like for you to look around in the space that you find yourself in. I'm looking around right now, and I am in our auditorium, and there are only three chairs sitting out in front of me with a couple people sitting in them who are going to lead us in prayer and worship and the word today. And so whatever space that you find yourself in, may this be sacred space this morning. And may God be welcome into that space, just as we would do if we were all gathering here this morning. So I'm going to light candles again. Like Steve said last week, this is the last Sunday that we are going to light all these candles, because as this time goes on, I don't know how many more Sundays we're going to be doing this. And so from here on out, we're just going to be lighting one candle, symbolizing this time that we're in and greatly anticipating for when we can all gather again in this space. But again, I'm grateful for the spaces that you are gathering in this morning and that we have this time to come worship this way. So welcome. I am glad that you are here. Okay, 10 candles lit. And then also, now would be a great time to go gather things for the table, some form of liquid to drink, and then something to eat as we are going to partake in the Lord's Supper together towards the end of our service. So settle down into your space and let's worship.
As always, we begin our time of worship with a psalm. Today's psalm comes from Psalm 68. It goes like this. May God arise. May his enemies be scattered. May his foes flee before him. May you blow them away like smoke, as wax melts before the fire. May the wicked perish before God. But may the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. May they be happy and joyful. Sing to God. Sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. You, God, are awesome in your sanctuary. The God of Israel gives power and strength to his people. Praise be to God. Let's sing together.
Good morning, church. Today we're going to sing two songs, Savior Lead Me and He Leadeth Me. Savior, lead me lest I stray. Gently lead me all the way. I am safe when by thy side I would in thy love abide. Lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray gently down the stream of time. Lead me, Savior, all the way. Thou the refuge of my soul, when life's stormy billows roll, I am safe when thou art nigh. All my hopes on thee rely. Lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray gently down the stream of time. Lead me, Savior, all the way. Savior, lead me then at last, when the storm of life is past, to the land of endless day, where all tears are wiped away. Lead me, Savior, lead me, lest I stray gently down the stream of time. Lead me, Savior, all the way. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still or troubled sea, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, for God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
It's been such a gift to partner with Brent over these last 10 weeks in this way, and I'm so thankful that he continues to show up and do this and sing blessings and prayers over us. So thank you, Brent, for doing that for sure. And what it is, a gift to be together, gathered like this. And right now I'm thinking specifically of our youngest friends, those of you who are in our elementary classes, Miss Martha's class, Miss Lori's class. I'm thinking of you in our Roots class also. You should have a fourth and final leaves bulletin that looks something like this. I will put a few more of these together this week and send them out to your families, to your homes again. But the one thing I want to point out to you is in this top left-hand corner, if you have it, you can look at it. It's the consider question. It's the question, what are you praying about these days? That is a great question. What are you praying about these days? Your prayers are extremely important these days, and maybe you can write some of those down, maybe share with your parents, your guardians, some thoughts that you have about that. But you can follow along in our bulletin today if you'd like while I preach. Well, before I preach, let's pray together, and then we'll go on. God, by your grace and by your mercy, pour through me the gift of preaching this day. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, through whom all things are possible and through whom all things are done. Amen. Not to surprise you or anything, but none of the Gospels were written in real time. None of the books hit the shelves the day when Jesus said this or did that. Documentarians did not follow Jesus around by streaming all of his actions on Facebook Live, broadcast in the moment for all to see. The authors wrote after the fact, and in some cases, many years after the fact. John, the gospel that we've been peering into for 5 months now, was likely written decades after Jesus lived, died, and lived again. Certainly, all the gospel writers had different aims and audiences in mind when they wrote what they wrote, but at least one common thread between them all might be this. What now? Yes, Jesus was raised from the dead on a glorious Easter morning and triumphed over every single thing death could throw at him. But Jesus also left. He departed. He is not here. He did not stick around. Got swept up into the clouds by some accounts. So is that it? Do his followers raise a glass to the one who saved them and loved them? Do they thank him for the great ride, then pack up all their belongings and go home? What now? Seeing as how this is our last week in our John series, that's what I would like to think about this morning. The what now that Jesus had in mind. John, more than any other gospel writer, takes the lion's share of tackling that question. What does Christ, as he physically leaves, have to say to his disciples? What does he want to impart to them here at the last? John records a lengthy farewell speech Jesus made soon before his arrest and trial. By lengthy, I mean a monologue about 4 chapters long. If you have a red-lettered Bible, you'll have several pages written in just that ink color. After the goodbye meal in chapter 13, what we talked about last week, Jesus in chapters 14 through 17 gives his goodbye instructions, his goodbye teachings, and his goodbye prayers. Makes me think of the differences between the way that Chelsea's family says goodbye and the way that my family says goodbye. When we visit Chelsea's family, departure is quick and painless. Pack the car, one hug per person, one kiss, pat the dogs on the head and go. Driving away literally 3 minutes after we announce we gotta leave. A swift band-aid rip and we're off. My family, on the other hand, stretches it out as long as humanly possible. When I grew up, saying goodbye took half the morning when we were at my grandparents' house, packing and loading the car and rechecking all the rooms for things we may have left 3 times. Then hugging inside the house, moving to outside the house for further conversation and further hugs, promises to call when we get home, then get into our maroon Ford Aerostar minivan, reach our hands outside the windows to hold our grandparents' hands one more time, and then drive slowly down the dirt driveway, leaning out the window to flash the I love you sign. And when we turn the corner and could just still see their house upon the ridge, We'd wave frantically until finally we were out of sight. It is still a complete wonder to me that Chelsea voluntarily joins my family. John's gospel is the long goodbye. If it weren't so compelling to hear, You might find it belaboring or overkill. But compelling and moving it is. Because unless Jesus leaves, the Holy Spirit of God will not come and dance upon their shoulders. And unless he goes, we won't learn how sorrow can possibly become joy. And unless he goes, we won't hear how intimately Jesus intercedes on our behalf. Here at the end of his life, Jesus speaks to his disciples. This, my friends, this is what you must remember. I encourage you to read chapters 14 to 17 on your own this week, because there's no way I can cover it all in sermon form. So what I'd like to do is simply read a few of Jesus's own words here. At the risk of cherry-picking some of my personal favorites, think of it instead in the mold of our friend Jesse Gay, who a month or two before the world shut down wrote down maybe 30 or 40 scriptures, most of them from the book of John, on index cards. He placed them on the welcome table over there in the lobby for anyone to take to receive the words of God as a gift. I have several of them in my office, and these specifically are from the book of John, chapter 14. My daughter picked up one, and I know that several of our Cafe Grace friends did as well, and maybe you did too. Receive a few of these words from these four chapters, whichever ones are for you. I'll make a couple of comments afterwards, and then we'll move to the table where I will invite you to share words from these chapters too. So the words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Abide in me as I abide in you, for I am the vine, and you are the branches. I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Very truly, I tell you, it is good for you that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and the Spirit will guide you into all the truth. Very truly, I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. With Jesus's long goodbye in our ears, let us now come to the close of this series that we've been calling God in the Neighborhood. Watermarks, table mates, and cemetery plots in the Gospel of John. Introducing this series on the first Sunday of this calendar year, I said this. We will explore together Jesus' very intentional mission, which always played itself out right where he found himself. In cities and at swimming pools, in upper rooms and gardens, at parties and on dusty roads. Wherever Jesus was, his work of discipleship and proclaiming freedom was there as well. No matter where Jesus traveled, he concerned himself with the community within his eyesight. The local neighborhood is important to God. With that in mind, we talked about our own neighborhood and asked this question about our own congregation. Do we still have a mission and a place and a time in this community? What I did not expect, what no one else did either, is how massively and quickly our world would change. Plans I had firmly in place since last November melted quickly. Ideas hit the back burners. Prearranged schedules took a seat. When everything hit the fan in March, I thought my role as a pastor had to be like that of an ER doctor. I had to triage and make decisions on what and whom to treat first, while having to let some things go, always adjusting on the fly to whatever news would come. Maybe triage had its appropriate place, but preaching through John every single week during this time, I've learned once again that Jesus does not panic. He does not lose his nerve. He is not spooked or flustered. Jesus is not afraid. Even during his farewell address hours before his death, he is fully, absolutely present. Not panicking does not mean no urgency, of course. It means a quiet and resolved focus. That focus meant it was never about triage for Jesus. It never has been. It was always about mission, always about thy kingdom come, always about glorifying God. Even in the moments when the watching eyeballs believed that all hell was breaking loose upon that cross. It was always about the grace and mercy he exhibited, like to Mary there at the graveyard, or to Peter on the beach, or to Judas as Jesus washed Judas's feet. Wherever Jesus was, wherever he preached or healed or taught or rose, wherever he showed up, his work of discipleship and proclaiming freedom was there as well. My friends, Jesus the Christ is still at work. We ourselves, the Church of 2020, are the recipients and the clay jar containers of that continuing saving action. As the stories and the words and the very life of Jesus has somehow been handed down to us through millennia of blood, sweat, and tears, through crusades, war, and slavery, through reformations, revolutions, and restorations, through pride, power, and pandemics. Somehow, Jesus keeps on teaching us and shaping us and forming us. Somehow, he keeps sending us out into the neighborhoods we find ourselves in, saying to us, "That is where you will find me." Who's to say what the church in general, or this church in particular, will look like a year from now or 10. Our job is to open our hands and open our hearts and say, "Here we are. Thy will be done." And together, we say or we type, amen and amen. Every week we continue to gather at the Lord's table. Even though we are absent from one another, it is the presence of Christ in each one of us that connects us and draws us near. His body broken, his blood given for the life and for the healing of the world, that is all within us. In a minute, you are welcome to eat the bread and drink from the cup. Pray however you would like. One thing I would like to invite you to do during this time is to open your Bibles, if they aren't open already, and then type in or copy over a verse or two or three from Jesus' farewell address that speaks to you. Maybe it's always spoken to you, or perhaps it's even just recently spoken to you, as recently as this morning. I left so much out in my readings from John chapter 14 to 17, so fill in the gaps for me. What did I miss? What did I not read? Type in a couple of verses from these four chapters that comforts you, that challenges you, that centers you, verses that you silently pray over your children, however old they are. Put down verses that remind you of who you are. Does that make sense? I hope so, because I'm not going to explain it again. We're going to roll with what we got. So let's do all that now as we eat and drink from
Thank
the table.
Too.
Those of you who've shared some John verses with us, and perhaps more to come. That's a good thing. After the table, we always talk about our offering. We give because we have been given. So now is the time to remind you to do that. You can continue the work of this congregation through your offerings, through your tithes. You can do that online, through our website. You can continue to send in checks or cash to our office through the mail, and we'll take care of it that way as well. So thank you for your continued contributions and financial support for the work of this place in this neighborhood. So thank you. Well, this is indeed our last Sunday in John's Gospel. Whatever has been spoken or preached on or long forgotten by now throughout this series, I pray that God would stir within your spirit things far beyond what I ever could have hoped for or imagined or dreamed up. Next week is Pentecost Sunday, and I will preach from Acts chapter 2. As I've said several times in the last month or so, I'm going to start inviting one or two of you to join me in person, helping out with these online gatherings, just as a way to have other folks seen on this video and encourage and bless each other that way. We'll begin that next Sunday. As we close our time together, moving into whatever hopes and discouragements and disappointments and opportunities this upcoming week may have in store for you, please hear again this part from John chapter 1, which has been the guiding principle for our entire series. The Word became flesh and lived among us. We have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Go forth in this grace of God this week. Peace be with us all.